Say election day is tomorrow, and you still haven't made up your mind. Will you vote Democratic, Republican, United We Stand, write in Donald Duck's name again? There are some big decisions in life where you finally have to choose. Welcome to the Voice of Prophecy. This is Lonnie Melashenko. Join us today as we search for ways to make this a better world and prepare for the world to come.
Hello, everyone. This is Kenneth Richards. Today, Lonnie shares the final message in our 5-week series entitled Your Most Radical Decision. His topic today: you can't vote for undecided.
Back in the 1960s, when I was going to college, humor columnist Art Buchwald wrote an article where he interviewed the imaginary leader of the UDKNS group, which stood for the Undecided, Don't Know, Not Sure block of potential voters, UDKNS. The 64 election between Goldwater and LBJ was just around the corner, and so, of course, there was a lot of political interest in those people who hadn't yet made up their minds. "We're the most important people around," the UDKNS president boasted. "They have to pay attention to us." "How many members did the group have?" Buchwald wanted to know. Well, the president was undecided about that. He didn't know and really wasn't very sure. And really, the group had just one cardinal rule. Anyone who expressed an opinion or preference on anything was asked to immediately resign. Well, just back in 1992, when the Bush-Clinton-Perot contest was really heating up, quite a few voters immediately picked their favorite man. And we have on our Voice of Prophecy staff one very die-hard Democrat and a few loyal Republicans who wouldn't dream of ever crossing over to vote wrong, even for county dog catcher. But most of the rest of our group was kind of in the middle, splitting tickets, voting for the man instead of the party. And on a nationwide basis, as the important November date drew closer, there were still quite a few voters out there who hadn't yet picked their candidate. However, and this was of special concern to the Bush campaign, you'll recall, polling numbers toward the end began to indicate that voter preference numbers were hardening. In other words, people were making their choice and getting to the point where that choice probably wasn't going to change. More and more polls showed that the undecided group was shrinking. And when people were asked, "Is there a chance that you'll change your opinion yet again before Election Day?" fewer people were saying yes. That's why, all of a sudden, after months of no debates between the candidates, it was the Republicans who suddenly said, "All right, we'll challenge you to a whole bunch of debates. Let's get it on," George Bush declared. The reason? His own committee had said to him, "Mr. President, the numbers are hardening against us. We need to do something to shake things up." Now, friend, what does this have to do with us? Yesterday, we began to talk about a church called Laodicea, the Church of the Last Days, the Church of 1995. And it's a church filled with people who are lukewarm, not hot and not cold. People who are going through the motions. They print their names neatly on the tithe envelopes, and they serve on the church board, and they may very conscientiously keep the Ten Commandments. These are people who are sometimes very strong-willed and able to produce a kind of obedience in their own strength. But on the inside, they don't know God. They don't have a daily relationship with Him, nurtured by Bible study, prayer, and witnessing. Of course, there are two other groups, hot and cold. There are some who are hot, radical disciples, hot on the outside, hot on the inside. They obey because it's an instinctive response for one who is so in love with Jesus Christ. They follow the Lamb wherever He goes, as is beautifully described in Revelation 14, verse 4. And there are those who are cold, all the way through, cold. They have no interest in spiritual things, and they've openly conceded as much. "It's just not my thing," they tell you. "They're going to live for themselves, thank you very much." And there's not much anybody can say to change their mind. Now, with those who are either hot or cold, and with an election coming up, those votes are pretty much fixed. I'm grateful that the Holy Spirit has abundant power to reach some of those who are in the deep freeze of their own secular determination, and we see that kind of miraculous turnaround every week here at the Voice of Prophecy. But as Election Day approaches, the way people are going to vote begins to harden up. What about those in the middle? The lukewarm believers, or Laodicea? Now, friend, I'm going to confess something to you right here. This Daily Voice of Prophecy program, Monday through Friday, plays on a lot of Christian radio stations. And there are times when that high percentage of Christian stations in our nationwide lineup has bothered me a little bit. We need to be reaching the lost for Christ, we say to ourselves. But today, I'm thankful that we're on those stations, because the vast ocean of Laodicean voters, lukewarm Christians, are in the church. They're people sitting in the pew. They're listening to Christian radio. In a sense, they're voters who haven't yet made up their minds. Are they going to turn the tap over to hot, become radical disciples, live in obedience through a daily friendship, a real relationship with Jesus Christ? Is that the path they'll choose? Or in the end, will they end up cold? Because as the time of the end approaches, the three groups on the map are going to shrink down to two. Let me say that again. In the end, there will only be two groups. A voter can claim to be independent or undecided, but on Election Day, there's no ballot for undecided. And except for a Ross Perot type of candidacy, when November comes, the three groups all across the country come down to two. In Matthew 25, Jesus talks about two groups, doesn't he? The sheep and the goats. Two groups. Over in chapter 13, it was the wheat and the tares. Two groups. In the end, there's just two. Some will be saved and some will be lost. The greatest polarization in the history of the universe takes place right here in these last days. It's a shaking up that beats anything our politicians have ever seen. Now listen. These last 5 weeks, we've been talking about your most radical decision. We've been exploring the great message of righteousness by faith, of obedience through a daily faith relationship with Jesus. Now, friend, this isn't my message. This is something that has been among us for many long centuries. But here in 1995, it's really just starting to rumble. Something big is starting to happen. What is it about this righteousness by faith message that pushes people out of Laodicea and into two clear and distinct groups? Why does this message polarize the way it does? Morris Venden, in his book, To Know God, A Five-Day Plan, makes this observation, and I'm quoting, "There's only one answer. Laodiceans, lukewarm people, have gotten used to finding their security in something other than the righteousness of Christ and faith and love and the Holy Spirit. They have found their security in the external things they have been doing. Strong people can find security in externals because strong people can live good moral lives on the outside. They say, don't bother me with the righteousness of Christ by faith and with my need for a one-to-one relationship with God to receive his faith and love. I'm living a good moral life. God, you keep your planets from running into each other and help the drunk and the gutter and the harlots and the thieves, but me, I'm getting along fine, thank you." He goes on to describe, and he's absolutely right, that this message has always polarized and always will polarize. When Jesus preached it, there was either a revival or a riot. When Paul preached it, people either welcomed him into their synagogues or they stoned him and ran him out of town. You couldn't straddle the fence when it came to what Jesus and Paul were trying to say. Here's one more hard-hitting paragraph from Venden's book. "The person who has been thinking that he has assurance of heaven someday because he is living a good life cannot stay the same when he hears the emphasis upon the righteousness of Christ as our only hope. Either he will welcome it as good news and enter into the faith relationship with Christ, accepting of his righteousness and love on a day-by-day basis, or he will walk away from the whole package and say, 'No, I'm not interested.'" Then he closes by adding, "It's a mystery that is hard to explain." Friend, I can tell you something, and this is right from the heart. I don't know about your church, but this message is shaking up my denomination. People are wrestling with it, and then they're either going one way or the other. They're either going out the back door, or they're coming in to stay. They're becoming radical disciples. The three groups are shaking down into two, and it's happening fast. On the next to the last page of Venden's book, he adds these sobering words, "This emphasis upon the righteousness of Christ by faith alone has been rising steadily, and nothing is stopping it. It's the last message just before Jesus returns, and it causes the last events just before he comes again. We can rejoice when we see it happening, for it tells us that Jesus' coming is very, very near. You know, friend, it doesn't matter what church you're in, Baptist, Methodist, Catholic, Episcopalian, Assembly of God, or in my own Adventist denomination. This right here is what you need. This is what we all need. The time for this decision isn't later. It's right now. June 30, right now. Back during World War II, C.S. Lewis wrote something about this business of right now. Listen, I do not suppose you and I would have thought much of a Frenchman who waited until the Allies were marching into Germany and then announced he was on our side. God will invade. When that happens, it is the end of the world. When the author walks onto the stage, the play is over. And then a bit later he closes with this appeal. God is going to invade, all right. But what is the good of saying you are on his side then, when you see the whole natural universe melting away like a dream and something else, something that never entered your head to conceive, comes crashing in? Something so beautiful to some of us and so terrible to others that none of us will have any choice left. Now, today, this moment is our chance to choose the right side. God is holding back to give us that chance. It will not last forever. We must take it or leave it. Friend, I'm so thankful that God got to me in time, and he's gotten to you in time, right now. Friend, he's calling you right now. What's it going to be?
Friend, remember that today's your last chance to receive the book Steps to Christ as our gift. This classic volume has helped millions to make their most radical decision in life. For your free copy of Steps to Christ, write to the Voice of Prophecy, Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. That's Box 55, Los Angeles, 90053. Our Canadian address, Box 2127, Oshawa, Ontario, L1H7V4. Or you can call us toll-free at 1-800-872-0055. That number again, 1-800-872-0055. And please remember to include the call letters of this station. Lonnie?
We'd love to hear from you. Well, must go. Have a blessed weekend with the Lord, friend. We'll talk to you again Monday with a brand new week of presentations. Until then, this is Lonnie Melashenko reminding you that it's always true. God loves you.
Cheating can be so appealing. It takes so little effort to get so far ahead. You're struggling through a history test when you come to an impossible question. You draw a complete blank. And you know that sitting next to you is a guy who gets an A on every exam. All you have to do is glance to your side. At times like that, it's a real challenge to do the right thing. And temptations to cheat don't end with graduation. Stratfield Elementary School was known as one of the best public elementary schools in the nation. Proof of its excellence was the students' performance on nationally standardized tests. And there was a lot of pressure to maintain that level of excellence. Parents demanded the best for their children. Property values were influenced by the school's performance. Then, the ugly little secret came out. The school was cheating. Staff members were altering tests so the students appeared to score higher than they really did. Can you imagine the embarrassment of the administrators? Can you imagine the ire of parents who'd been misled? The Bible says, "Be sure your sin will find you out." Cheating cannot be hidden forever. Its benefits are not worth the cost. For the Voice of Prophecy and the Seventh-day Adventist Church, this is John McLarty.